What's going on, Mets fans? I'm Matt Cerrone from MetsBlog.com. This is the Meet the Mets cast from the winter meetings in Orlando. I am in New York. My co-hosts today, Steve Hofstetter and Rob Brender, out in L.A. We are not in Orlando, but we are still following the hot stove to the extent that it is hot. It's actually kind of lukewarm for the Mets. Hot for some other teams, though, and we'll get into that a little bit later. Steve, first off, just real quick before we dive into any kind of promotional stuff, we haven't talked in a while. How are you doing? What's going on in the world of Steve Hofstetter?
Other than the fact that I almost sliced off one of my fingers this week, everything's great. Yeah, I had a fight with a circular saw. Turns out that they are relentless.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm impressed that you were even using one. So let's just go there.
Hey, I build stuff. I built my dining room table, among other things, in my house.
Excellent.
But I'm going to be a little hesitant on the circular saw from here on out.
Very impressed. So just
I feel like a baseball player in spring training with like a really dumb injury. You know.
Yep. Exactly. Just real quick rundown. Some of the things that have been going on. We heard from Sandy Alderson when he first pulled into town on Sunday. Really lowered expectations. I think every Mets fan that I know is pretty underwhelmed by what he had to say, which was essentially, you know, what the payroll numbers that you've heard are probably accurate. Talked about second base, talked about wanting a relief pitcher, talked about, you know, the fact that they're not looking to sign a long-term first baseman because he still believes in Dom Smith. Starting pitching, low priority, pretty much everything that I think we thought. I just don't think to the extent that we thought they would look to make acquisitions. Sounds like it's going to be a lot less at every one of those positions that we hoped. The other flip side to that, though, is it a smokescreen? Is this just what he's saying? Because, like, typical Sandy Alderson, he's going to say one thing and kind of do another. So who knows? And we'll see how that plays out. Just, you know, your impressions from Sandy's talk. I mean, the Mets Twitter was outraged and wild and crazier than usual today. I don't know if you checked that out, but like, Where do you stand in terms of, you know, just, I don't know, your thoughts on what he said and what that means for the offseason?
Look, I think it's fun that we all get transported back to the early 90s. I don't know. It's one of those things that you don't know until the hot stove is over. Right now, I could put my half-severed finger on the hot stove and not burn myself because it's so lukewarm. But, you know, I mean, you do not know until it's over. There are a lot of things that can happen. We got very surprised over the offseason before, was it 2016?
Yep.
There were a lot of moves that they made that, like, we didn't see coming. We did not see John Neese for Neil Walker coming, and that was great, you know? We like there were a lot of moves like that, and who knows, maybe there are some that can still happen, but I'm an optimist and I'm not willing to accept that they're going to trade Matt Harvey for Prufar or whatever, however you pronounce
it. I don't think
however you pronounce his minor league name.
So exactly. You know, and it's funny because he has a track record of this, Sandy, which is, you know, and I wrote about some of this on Mets Blog. Just recently, just during his time, but just recently over the last couple of years, I mean, you go back to Cespedes, it was only a year ago that every beat reporter was saying, and he was saying to an extent that, you know, there was no chance that they were going to reach a deal with Cespedes. They were far apart on the numbers, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, like one night, oh, the Nationals are coming in. And then boom, he takes the 4-year, $100 million from the Mets, which according to his agent had been on the table for a month. So like the whole time Sandy was saying that, there was a chance he was going to take that. And then there was the Dickey stuff, which you and I talked about before the call. For months, he talked about, we're not going to resign him. Then all of a sudden, oh no, there's a chance for a deal. And then blank, he's traded to the Blue Jays. And like, it has happened over and over again. Jason Bay, Luis Castillo, Oliver Perez, all these guys. No, we're not going to cut him. We're not going to eat the money. Boom, next week, cut. And it happens. And Rob, you know, and you paid attention. I know you have because we've been texting about Sandy's comments. I mean, what do you think? What's your sort of takeaway? I know, you know, be kind now. But what's your takeaway of Sandy's stuff? I mean, do you buy what he's saying? Do you think this is legit? Do you think it's a smokescreen? I mean, what's your take?
I always take everything a GM says with a grain of salt. And oh, by the way, you're like a therapist almost for me. It's how I get out I think we are for each other, right? It's sort of how you get out your frustration about what has happened or not happened with this team so far. But as far as Sandy goes, I think every time a general manager talks, you take it with absolutely a grain of salt. And what percentage of it is really going to be true? Maybe 10%, 20%. He's not giving you their true feelings, I don't think, about much. But what bothers me a little bit is that they're so concerned, it seems, every offseason with lowering expectations from the jump. And that's always frustrating for me as a fan. You never see – look, I hate comparing anything to the Yankees, but you never see the Yankees lowering expectations. They basically just make things happen.
That's not true.
When was the last time the Yankees lowered
expectations? I can distinctly remember, Brett Gardner is the future. Or it wasn't even Gardner. It was somebody else. I can't remember the name. And then like a week later, they signed Ellsbury to like a bazillion-dollar contract because it was, we're not going to sign Ellsbury next time, but we're gonna just go in-house. And then, you know, they do it. It does
but
happen.
As it turns
it's not
out,
as often.
Brett Gardner
turned
out to
be pretty good. It's not an off-season policy like it seems to be the Mets every October, but it does happen.
Yes, and with that, I am a little concerned. I'm a little concerned that they never even made a play for Giancarlo Stanton. I know that doesn't freak anybody else out because of the money, but they should have made a play for him. Now, maybe he would have said no right off the bat, or maybe they knew he had no interest in them, but that would have bothered me a little bit. It bothered me what he said about Dom Smith. I don't like the motivating factor in it. I don't think that there is much motivation that somebody can get from that. I think all it does is basically tell the rest of the world you think your in-house prospect who was supposed to be one of the best isn't really all that great yet. And, you know, the motivating him, I mean, come on, if he's not self-motivated enough to get to the big leagues, there's a problem. I think all those comments as a whole bother me. And what bothers me the most, Matt, is they haven't done anything yet. So make something happen here. And most teams haven't. But
you mentioned Stanton. Steve, what's your feeling on the Stanton situation? I mean, were you hoping that they were going to make a play for him? Do you expect it? I mean, what's your thoughts with Stanton?
Well, before we get to Stanton, I want to address the idea of like consumer confidence is pretty important when you're running a business.
Yeah.
And I understand the idea of like, lower expectations so people don't get inevitably disappointed. But also, people aren't going to buy tickets and people aren't going to want to trade for your players if you talk down about them. And so the thing, and I've said this on the podcast before, but the thing that Cashman has always been so great at is hyping their prospects and then trading away. Like, he would always be, anyone but D'Angelo Jimenez. Anyone but D'Angelo Jimenez. And then he'd trade D'Angelo Jimenez eventually, who sucked, then he would get a ton for him. So that's something that's great across town. We kind of did it with Dilson Herrera. Weren't we all excited about him? And then turned out to be fairly worthless. But I hate seeing that with Dom Smith because it's like, okay, if you do give up on him, why are you telling other people?
Yeah.
Like, just handle that internally, and I think it'll just be better off for business.
You know, and it's a flip-flop of it, too, that was a little odd to me. Like, it was only a month ago that he was making the negative comments about Smith, and then we very shortly after heard, rumors that they were poking around the market of Carlos Santana and Eric Hosmer, which I don't doubt, but I'm sure there was no legit serious. I was probably just more like, hey, what do they want?
Right.
You know, and now all of a sudden, we believe in Dom. We don't want, a multi-year first baseman because, he's the future and everything's fine. So like, well, which is it? You know, and so like, what does that signal to fans? What's that signal to other GMs, to other, it doesn't feel right. It's confusing to me. And that to me is the takeaway from right. Sunday. It's not so much what he said. I want to know why he said it. Like, did something change budgetarily? Did they misread the market? Did they, something must have happened now in fairness, and actually I'm contradicting myself a little bit, but in fairness, everything we knew prior to Sunday were reports, which, comes down to intimation and sourcing and sometimes semantics. So who knows where it was coming from. And so this was his opening statement from the horse's mouth. But, really, it was 2 years ago they were in the World Series. A year ago they were in the playoffs. Now we're cutting payroll and shortchanging important
it's
positions.
Pathetic.
Like, I don't know. It just doesn't it doesn't smell right to me. And I think that's the real concern.
The whole thing is pathetic. And if you read, who was it that tweeted today? Which columnist? One of the columnists, I can't remember. Gosh, I wish I could. Had this great tweet about how, if you're the Mets, how do you look at
Mike
the Yankees
Vaccaro.
Currently? Oh, right. It was Vaccaro. You're right. Who talked about looking at what the Yankees are doing right now and where the Mets were a couple of years ago in the World Series. And how could you not want that again? And they give off the feeling And again, it goes back to this lowering of expectations thing with the fan base constantly, that they just don't care about that, or they don't want that again, or they're not willing to do what it takes to have that again. And that bothers me. It would bother anybody, I think.
I talked to a scout, an agent earlier today, and they had said that, I'm trying to remember how they put this, but essentially the way they worded it was, sometimes I wonder if the Mets read the CBA, because the new one, because clearly it is set up for, and you see this with other teams, that the way to go is overspend, go wild, get as many people in as you can, take your shot, and if you miss it, trade them away for prospects and start again. Like a big market team, that's what they're all doing, and the Mets aren't. And that's the confusing part.
It's upsetting, is what it is.
So, you know, we're not always right. And Steve and I were talking earlier before the show about rumors and just the things that we get excited about. We get all hot about this, and then all of a sudden a week later something happens. So, like, we were talking a little bit about, you know, some of the things that came down the pike that we were maybe we thought the Mets should do, and thank God they didn't, or vice versa, stuff that maybe we were in support of and they didn't, and it worked out. I mentioned Michael Bourne to me, you know, that offseason, that was a big deal. For some reason, I thought they should get Michael Bourne, and turns out that would have been a huge bust, and they wouldn't have Dom Smith, I think, if I'm correct with the draft pick. So that was a mistake. Steve, for you, I mean, what's the thing that you kind of, you know, you were really in support of, and it just did not go the way anybody expected?
You know, I was thinking when we were first talking about this, I was like, oh, Jason Bay. But now that I think about it, I think more so, oh man, so many names are coming to mind. Mo Vaughn was one of them.
Yeah.
Roberto Alomar and Carlos Baerga. Mm. Like, the Mets were collecting 1990s second baseman.
Yeah.
Like, remember when the argument was who's better, Alomar or Baerga, and then the Mets got him, and then there was like, neither. So I think all of those, I'd say probably of those, because it was the biggest disappointment, was probably Mo Vaughn, because he was so dominant. And then he just disappeared.
Well, they got him back as a reclamation project, too. You know, it's funny you mentioned Bay. I was all about Holiday that offseason. I thought, oh, Holiday, no doubt, Bay, avoid him. Just doesn't look right for this ballpark, the Mets. And I'm not usually, you know, that emphatic about stuff. But, like, I thought Holiday was the way to go.
Money?
More money and more years. I mean, quite honestly, the money wasn't even really that much more. It was the 7-year contract versus the 3 with an option. I think was probably the bigger deal, and you know what? It still wouldn't have mattered. It still would have been a better move.
Yeah.
What about you, Rob? What's your that you were happiest that they did? Because I've got others that like I wanted them to do, and I was wrong, like Michael Bourne. But what's your moment where it's the happiest that they did, and that you were like, oh, turns out no.
Yeah, I'm jumping on the bandwagon for Roberto Alomar, because Alomar at the time was still considered to be a stud at second base. This was like the get you over the top type move, and that didn't really work out. What about Mike Bordick too? Wasn't Bordick supposed to be really good still when the Mets got him from Baltimore? And then that obviously didn't work out. I mean, he was still decent.
He was definitely better than he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be better than he was.
Yeah, and I want to jump out ahead of this. If they were to get Jerickson Profar, I have a feeling that if we were to do this show a year from now, that's who I'd be saying. Oh, I was a little excited that they were going to get Profar.
Why would you be excited at all for a guy?
You were excited for Profar 4 years ago. What do you be excited about now?
I'm not. Look, I that would be the worst move that they could possibly make, Harvey, for Profar.
That's not happening. I mean, don't buy into that. I mean,
thank goodness.
People I was talking to today, it was all about Harvey for a reliever. The Orioles, the Yankees make a ton of sense, quite honestly. Brewers.
You realize, by the way, that if Profar hit 250 and 10 home runs, it would be a career year.
Yeah, he's done nothing in the big leagues. No, I've been telling people that all day online. He's done nothing in the big leagues. He's always hurt. I don't understand why how old he is and his control should be that important when the guy's done nothing.
I think the upside from Matt Harvey's high. You know who you have control over? Everyone in the minor leagues.
Yes.
So. I think the move to me that was the most like I was upset when they made it, and boy was I wrong, was Ari Dickey. Because to me, I'm like, he just won a Cy Young for you. You know, the Mets hadn't won a Cy Young since Doc, and you know,
you were upset they traded Dickey?
Well, at the time, at the time the Mets weren't doing anything. It's not like they were great when that happened. And at the time, I didn't know much about Syndergaard. And, you know, pitching prospects are a dime a dozen. Like, there's tons of them that don't work out. And I didn't know a ton about him. And I was just, I liked Dickey. I liked watching him. I thought he was fun. He seemed like a stand-up dude. You know, there were a lot of things where I'm just like, oh, come on. You trade the one guy we're really rooting for right now. And then I'm like, oh, so sorry.
Yeah,
turns out I was completely wrong.
The one that I wanted them to make that they did, and I can't believe I didn't think of this immediately, was Santana. Like, that was the one, and I think of that one, that should be the first thing that comes to mind, because it's really, like, I blogged the hell out of that, and, like, really was on top of it the whole time, and...
Oh, the thing that worked out, though.
Yeah, that, like, wanted to happen, it happened, it went as well as we thought, like, that is, to me, is rare, like, and I feel like part of the story here that, like, is wrapped in what we're talking about is how few of those things there actually are, which I think is the real issue. Like, there's so few reaches that they make that actually pan out to the extent that we want them to do. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's happened. Santana's one.
We're gonna mention
something,
did.
But, like, it doesn't always happen. You know, like,
mine was Robin Ventura.
Nah, that was awesome. Yeah.
Ventura was one of my favorite players before he came to the Mets. I loved him on the Sox. And what I loved about Ventura is that he was never in the conversation of, oh, this is one of the best players in the league. He was I know it's still Chicago, so he was the Scottie Pippen. You know, he was the guy that, like, that was there that helped Frank Thomas be Frank Thomas. And I was like, that's what I want on this team.
Yeah.
And I was really happy when they got him, and it worked out great. And that was a really fun infield to watch.
That was what was so great about that entire roster, was like that they were all that guy. They were all the next guy, which was what was so awesome about them succeeding. So we went through those things and sort of the lesson of how sort of the offseason plays out. That said, they got to do something. There's moves that need to be made. There are holes to fill that they're going to fill. It's just a matter of the extent that they fill them. You know, if you had the choice to prioritize, I'm not talking about how to spend or who to spend the money on. It's more, you know, the order with which you would prioritize it. And the reason I ask is because I think it's interesting that Sandy sort of joked on Sunday that acquiring a starting pitcher is fourth on their list of priorities, which really only contains three priorities, which I think is kind of crazy because I think a lot of us, you know, would put starting pitching as something that's significant. So clearly they don't think so. You know, Rob, from your perspective, what is the... If they could only do one thing, what is it? And then down in order, how would you go?
Well, I want to preface this by saying that I don't think that there ever should be an order necessarily because...
That's okay,
and it leads to the creativity or lack thereof of certain general managers that I think you have to pounce on things as they come, right? Mm-hmm. That all of a sudden something will present itself that you didn't expect. And just because you didn't necessarily make starting pitching, let's say, your priority... All of a sudden, there's a trade out there to be had. That's where I'd love to see a GM just say, "Yeah, to hell with our priority list. We're going to jump at that pitcher. Let's make it happen." So if it was me, there wouldn't be one. I would just try to make my team better, period. But if I guess I had to look at one, I guess I would just base it all on talent. What's the most talented player I could bring in right now that's going to help my team? I don't care if it's a second base, third base pitcher, starting pitcher, relief pitcher. It doesn't make a difference. This team is void of talent, and they need healthy talent. They've got so many question marks all over the diamond. And again, this kind of goes back to Profar a little bit. Sorry about doing this, but when you're talking about adding a guy who's never healthy again, I freaked out online today. Why would you want to do that? You have so many question marks. Every single position player right now for the Mets right now, everyday position player, is a question mark. Yeah. Cespedes with his legs. You don't have a center fielder. Lagares can't hit at all. Right field, Conforto's coming back from major surgery. First base and shortstop, you don't know what you're getting out of the two rookies. Sorry, I know Rosario's a great prospect, but you just don't know still. Third base, Cabrera never stays healthy, and you don't have a second baseman, and your catcher stinks. He stinks. So here's the problem.
That was
Go
great.
Find the most talented player. That's it. That's my priority list, Matt.
I feel like Rob's unhappy.
Yeah, I know. That was awesome. I want to clip that and use that for something just on its own. That was a terrific rant.
But the important part is that Rob refused to play the game that we're playing.
That's okay. Sorry. I'm cool with that. I don't have a problem with that.
All right. I'm going to play the game and I'm going to say bullpen because I think that, like, look, if things go well, we still have one of the best starting staffs in baseball. Again, if things go well, I think that finding a guy who can hit 20 homers, who can hit 280, you know, like that's not impossible to do. But I think making sure that your leads hold is when you blow leads, it's one of the most demoralizing things in the game.
Sure.
And you look at what happened to them in the World Series. Look at the fact that the Mets could have swept that World Series if the bullpen had held it together. Even if their one closer who was the best closer in baseball that year, still pitched as himself. So if the Mets can get one, hopefully two reliable bullpen arms, I think that is a wonderful, wonderful thing to have. But I do agree with Rob that like a good deal is a good deal. And like the fact of the matter is if we had a great center fielder and then Mike Trout was available, well, we figure out where to put that center fielder.
Oh, right.
You know, right. So you do have to bob and weave a little bit.
I think that's a fair point. I think Rob, I was going to come into this with my own list, but now that I'm going to split the difference. Not surprising to anybody who knows me or has been reading me for 15 years. I'm going to kind of thread the needle between the two of you, which is I would put it as, I think you can, I don't want to say you can lay up on the bullpen because I'm with you, Steve. It's just that it's such a crapshoot and the prices are so ridiculous and you never really know where they're going to go. So I think you're just placing bets anyway. So like, I'm okay with sort of, look, if they want to give 2 years to somebody instead of three, I can deal with it because it could go either way and I'm okay with that. But I'm with you, Rob, on the sense that they need offense. I don't care where it comes from. It doesn't matter to me if it's first, if it's second, if it's right, if it's center, third makes no difference. Wherever they can get the best bat for, the money, I guess they want to spend on it, then they should do it. I don't care who it is. If it's Jay Bruce, fine. I mean, if that's the best they can do, that's a whole other issue. But if we're talking reality and the acquisitions that are available and he's the best, then do that. If that means Dom Smith has to do XYZ and Lagares has to get packaged in a deal, whatever it is, you make it happen. I'm with you on that. And so maybe I'm kind of splitting the difference. I was going to say second base to me was a priority because I feel like that and the bullpen will help the pitching staff the most, but they got to score runs. And yeah, After you went through that rant about all those question marks, that scared the bejesus out of me.
Well, right. Look, it's the reality of the situation. And I didn't even talk about the pitching staff. That was just the position players. The pitching staff has as many question marks as the starting lineup does. So
that's inherent with pitching. I'll go there.
Sure, it is. No question about it. All right. We got
to
hit
guys. Wait. Yeah. Do you remember when the Yankees were supposed to be bad for a couple of years? Do you remember that?
Please. I don't want to even talk about it.
I know.
That was. Sure. Do you realize, by the way, I'm looking back at this, and I know that the Yankees missed the playoffs three of the last 5 years.
Boo-hoo.
But at the same time,
because they have a great general manager and he knows how to build a team, and he's a Hall of Fame general manager.
Do you realize, by the way, that the last time the Yankees were under 500 was 1992?
Well, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a great team with the most money. They spend it, and a great creative general manager.
Yeah.
Hey, business. Spend money. You got to spend money to make money. It's
a business. Well, you got the wrong team. You're rooting for the wrong one. Hey, Ken Rosenthal's tweeting, by the way, Marlins pushing Ozuna. Yeah, you see this? Telling teams it'll be easier to acquire than Yelch. That's, again,
sure.
How, if you're the Mets, do you look at Marcelo Ozuna being – now, I'm not saying the Mets can put the best package out there for him, and I know that the Marlins have already talked to the Cardinals in the Stanton deal about pieces coming back, so they obviously know the St. Louis farm system at this point. How, if you're the Mets, do you not at least try there? Again, you're talking about acquiring talent. This is an extremely talented outfielder, great defensive player, great offensive player, young, 2 years of team control.
Yep.
They have to get in on this, don't they, Matt?
They do, and what is worse is that, if I remember correctly, and I may have this wrong, but I don't think I do, that I remember hearing the Nationals were interested in those two guys. I don't know why or what they're long to, but I mean, obviously with Worth and all that, and Harper, who knows where that's going. So like, maybe that's kind of where they're looking. So if that's the case and like they jumped in on that, could you imagine if Stanton goes to the Yankees and one of those guys goes to the Nationals? It's like, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you, and I'm with you on the creativity, right? You figure it out. figure it out. And it's, and I wrote this earlier, and I think it's important, and I don't want to belabor it, but like, it's about goals, not just the plan. Like, we talk a lot about the plan, but the goal, what are we talking about? Like, is, are we winning a world, do they want to win a World Series next year? Are they, you know, is it 3 years? Is it 10? Like, what is the long-term plan here? Because that will dictate the extent with which you will trade Rosario or trade Smith, you know?
By the way, the timeline that you just said, like those what ifs, if that happened, because the Dodgers offseason was almost the worst thing ever to see Ohtani go to the Angels and then Stanton go to the Giants.
True.
Like that would have, after losing the World Series in seven games, I mean, that would have been a nightmare for Dodger fans. And so, and I was laughing about the possibility of that. And then all of a sudden I look at the Mets and I'm like, well, then Stanton goes to the Yankees. And like, who's going to the Nationals? Like, this might not be good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, again, to our point before, who knows where things go? But I don't know. This feels different. I feel like he's telling the truth here, Sandy, and things are not going to be as exciting as maybe, you know, we all expect or hope or wish they would be.
Then you're not going to compete for a World Series. I mean, that's the way it goes.
Well, you know,
this team is not good enough.
Well, I mean,
they're not the best team in their division.
I get it. I wouldn't go that far. I would say that they are not helping themselves. That they're putting themselves in a situation to really, really struggle. But you know, who knows the effect Callaway has on the pitching staff and these guys stay. You know, you never really know. But I'm with you. I don't think they're putting themselves in the best position to succeed. Let me go. I'll say that.
Look, and believe me, I agree with that also. But first of all, look at us in the beginning of 2015. Right. Nobody would have called them a World Series team.
Right.
All right. And then you look, or even 2 months into the season, nobody would have called them a World Series team. And then you look at the teams that were supposed to be good this year and weren't, and supposed to be bad this year and weren't. Like, sometimes you just do not know. And so I think the doom and gloom, it's a little early. It's December. And I know that a lot of us are unhappy with the fact that, you know, we traded half the team away and got like 8 AA relievers, but
and still need a reliever, by the way. That's
right. You know, but hey, we did save that $300,000. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's a lot of offseason left. There have basically been 2 big deals so far. That's it. Yeah. The whole, we've been quiet, but so has everybody else. And so I think that there's still a lot of time left, and who knows?
Yeah, I agree with that. But at the same time, they are currently putting themselves in a position where it seems like everything has to click for this to work out and for them to be a playoff team. They're giving themselves almost no leeway. It's just not enough. If you can put yourself on paper and say, look, on paper, we're close enough to the Nationals that we feel like we can compete for the division, that's when I'll be happy. But right now, I don't see it. Yeah. They're not as good as the Nationals.
This was my joke on Twitter earlier, which was hope and luck are the 24th and 25th man on the roster.
They are, and that's a shame. It really is, but it's so true. I got to ask this question, and let's throw it out here real quick. Harvey for Brad Brock, would anybody do it? Who's doing it?
I don't even know how that guy's doing it. I mean, I remember Brock from a couple years ago or last year with Bruce, but what kind of season did he have? I don't even know.
He's good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's good. I'll look up the exact numbers for you. But Brad Brock, he's going to be a free agent after the year. His arbitration dollars are similar to Matt Harvey's. Oh, by the way, he's from New Jersey. I know how much people from the New York area love that. He's from New Jersey, just like they were talking about Todd Frazier. Got to bring him back home, right?
Right.
Brock was an all-star in 16 last year. He posted a
3.18
ERA in 67 appearances, had 18 saves filling in because of some injuries. So I would love Brad Brock on this team. I would trade Matt Harvey for Brad Brock as long as I knew that was their goal, was to go like the bullpenning route. So they're going to do the Harvey for Brock, and then go out and sign a Shaw.
Yeah. I mean, there's Brock. There's, if I remember correctly, I want to say the Mets initially were interested in Givens. But you know, who wouldn't be? O'Day is there, Britton's there. I mean, they need a pitcher. So I mean, that you understand where that deal gets, where it makes sense. Where it's, if it's just rumor, you understand where it's based in. And you know, I understand that they have talked. So like, it does make sense. It does seem like a swap. I hate to give up on Harvey. I hate to see him go somewhere and do awesome. I don't know.
Well, but here's the thing.
But I get it.
And,
I get it.
And this sucks to say, and it sucks even more to know. But the only thing that's going to make Harvey Harvey again is leaving because that's just how the luck works.
It's a good point. And I think there's truth to that. Actually, it's sadly funny, but I think it's also there's some truth to it.
He's gone one way or another, right? He's either gone in spring training because he stinks and they cut him and they don't want to pay the arbitration money that he's going to get, what, $4 million or $5 million, whatever it is, or they're going to try to trade him if he does fairly well by the deadline, especially if they're out of it, or by the end of the year, they just let him walk. I mean, they're not going to bring him back. They're not signing him again. There's a reason that all these rumors are floating out there about them trying to get rid of Matt Harvey. I think they want to get rid of Matt Harvey.
I think they put it out there, and I think they've gotten bombed with responses. My understanding, just with other teams, is that people are curious. I think they want to know because, like, you know, I think anybody would take him. Depends on, you know, you got to ask, right? If you're the rest of the league and you're looking for pitching, like, you got to ask what they want. Sure. So, like, I think they're getting flooded with calls.
I mean, think about all those movies where, like, it's a ragtag bunch of players that were good at one point and then something happened and, like, Matt Harvey would be the first call that Gene Hackman made.
Right.
Like, it's as simple as that. Yeah. And so other teams are going to be interested.
Grows the beard back. He's got the, you know, the Batman logo rocking again. Like, you could just totally see it. You know what's happening.
Yeah.
He can do it in Baltimore in front of their 20,000 fans at Camden, and that's fine.
Oh, snap.
The AL East. I'm down on teams where the fans don't show up.
All right, boys. We gotta roll. Steve's got to catch a flight to catch. So we'll be back tomorrow. I think it's just me and you tomorrow night, Rob, right?
Oh, yeah? Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Steve, what are you up to? Where are you going? New York?
I'm going to be in New York the next week. Okay. So I got shows coming up. Gotham Comedy Club is the big one on the 12th and the 19th. And then I'm banging around a lot of the different New York clubs. So if people want to check out my calendar, they can see it at stevehofstetter.com and come out and see me live. You got a bunch of chances this week. And, you know, we'll talk baseball after the show.
Awesome. Sounds good. Rob, where can they see you?
You can't see me. Period.
Moaning and groaning on Twitter.
Yeah, that's about it for right now. And as a matter of fact, I'm doing the SiriusXM stuff right before we do our little show.
All right, cool. All right, that'll do it. Thanks for listening to the show. Check out SNY's Winter Meetings 360 coverage presented by DirecTV 4K on all of SNY's digital platforms with a running feed of news, rumors, and live video reports from on-site in Orlando. And also be sure to check out my Facebook Live Q&A, which is going to be every morning at 10:30 this week if I can get my act together and hit the record button on time. Hopefully I'll do that. Also then later in the day, check out Steve Gelbs and Annie Martino. They'll be answering your questions live at 12:30 p.m. on SNY.tv. and SNY's Facebook page. And definitely check out Mets Hot Stove, which is on every night at 6 p.m. while the gang is down there in Orlando broadcasting live. All kinds of great guests. They had Mickey Callaway on the other night. I guess that is it. Again, Rob and I will be back tomorrow night or tonight, depending on when you're listening. It's Tuesday. Let's go with Tuesday with a podcast again at 8 o'clock. Thanks for listening. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow night. And as always, let's go Mets.